Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
And I hope you have your sword this morning. If you do, turn to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, we're going to look at one verse, verse 9 of chapter 1. Those of you who read the Bible are probably going to be pretty familiar with the verse. If nothing else, you're familiar with the story. And this morning, this story is part of what God laid on my heart. This story is what was the thing that God used to lay this on my heart. It's a message titled, Do Not Fear. And the reason that I believe God laid this on my heart is this week, as you saw any kind of print, I don't watch the news anymore. I have been delivered. Amen? I have been set free. So if you ask me about something that's on the news, I will look at you like you're from Mars, because I do not watch the news anymore. Again, I read it in print from reputable sources, but I have decided that I am no longer going to allow my mind to be a garbage disposal. You know what it's done, though? It has given me a joy that I'll be honest with you, I just can't express to you. Because I don't have the filth of all the garbage and all the carrying on and the political innuendos that if you open up and watch the Communist News Network and any number of these North Korean propaganda stations that are out there, I just am thankful that I'm able to wake up in the morning. What do I do first? The number one news station, that's my B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. And I spend time with God, and I know that God is faithful. His word doesn't return void. So I start my day looking up to the things above, not on the things of the earth. We are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. But as this story began to resonate with me because of the even stories that I've been reading in print about fear and how fear, they are talking about this incredible overreaction of the media and the fear that it's instilled in people has had a deep psychological impact on people who haven't even had COVID. It's got kids scared to death. It's got people scared to death to touch somebody. It's got people getting kicked off of planes, kicked out of stores, fighting. People have died because of it, not because of the COVID part, but they've gotten fights over it and ended up killing one another. But all of it over fear. Fear. You know what's interesting? That four-letter word has a lot of power if you allow it to. A lot of power. It is able to cause great division. And I'm not even speaking out just in reference to COVID. I'm talking about in all aspects of life. Fear is an incredible weapon that the enemy has capitalized on effectively. This story that we're going to look at this morning, of course, I've been to Israel twice, and the place that Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 is occurring is somewhere on the other side of the Jordan River. It's in Jordan. And if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. The middle of the Jordan River has a rope, and they're sectioned off. You've got the part that's Jordan, and you got the part that's Israel. And you don't go from Israel to the Jordan side. You can get in the Jordan River. You can be baptized in it. But you can't go over and get out on the Jordanian side because they have armed guards, and these guys don't play. These guys aren't there to joke with you. They are very serious, and they will kill you. They've got a peace between the two nations, but it's very fragile at that. But as I was, you know, you get these pictures in your mind, just like the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee. When I imagine all through my life and someone references the Sea of Galilee, you know what I had this picture of? I mean, Lake Huron. Lake Okeechobee. I'm talking about some big body of water that is what I'd say a sea. (Clears It's kind of like a real big Thames Ford Lake. No, small Thames Ford Lake. It's not big. It's kind of small. So when I'm going to this part where the Israelites crossed the Jordan River to come into what would then be Jericho, went through Jericho, went out through, there's landmines, by the way, on both sides. It was a very tumultuous time throughout the history, and there's still a bunch of landmines out there, but you come through this place, and there's all these landmine signs. And when you get there, you just have this feeling like there's just be this incredible, euphoric experience of some grandeur. No, it's this little creek. It's not a river to me, it's a creek. By the way, it's a small one to me. But I thought about, in reference to this scripture, can you imagine being Joshua? God has called you to lead his people into this promised land. By the way, they've been in the desert for 40 years, being fed, the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, the reassuring presence of God continually, right there all the time. Every morning when you wake up, you have the reassurance of God's supernatural provision in the manna on the ground. Can you imagine that? I've thought about this. But what had that become to them? Same old, same old. The pillar of cloud was not the reassurance of God's power and his presence. Same old, same old. But now we're in a sense this new chapter, and God has called Joshua to lead his people into this new land. And remember the spies, what had happened? There were these sordid tales that had been told of what? There's these giants that they make us look like grasshoppers. You know, I'm paraphrasing these little, we're nothing. These people are going to overwhelm us and destroy us. There have been all these lies, all these things that had been told. You think God would have led them into a land to destroy them? No. The same way that God would not have led them out of Egypt merely to kill them, like they thought over and over again. See, what had happened was fear. Fear. That little four-letter word that has truly no power had been given the authority to have great power in the minds. It's something that you and I truly will deal with our entire life. Now the question will become, will we live a life of I battle fear, or will you live that life of what this morning's message is titled, do not fear? Why? Well, even as simple as one day when we breathe our last breath, we have the promise in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what I will not fear. Why? For thou art with me. That's the promise. He's there now. God is there now. In that day that's not even here, he's there now. Because he's ever present all throughout eternity, past, present, and future, right now. Even though we can't understand that, it doesn't change the truth of it. As we watch this unfold with Joshua, and you think about the times that you've read through this whole entire narrative, I can't imagine the battle that Joshua would have had, allowing fear to be left in that place, but also dealing with people who were battling this fear of, well, I wonder if some of that might have been true. You and I have the same battle every day. If you're a man that truly is a lover of God, that is leading his family as God's called you to, as a servant leader, leading with the greatest interest of your family first, above all, you know the battle with fear that I'm talking about. You recognize how the weight of your decisions profoundly impact not only you, but also your precious bride and your children and this gift that God has given you. And not only do they affect this precious bride and these children right now with our decisions that are made, brothers and sisters, they have the potential to impact 3 and 4 generations following, or 1,000 following with blessing. The other are the sins of the father that are carried on, and that is that battle that if you are a true follower of Christ, you realize this and you are ever mindful of the decisions that you're making and the implications, the things that can flow from those. That's the fear that I'm talking about, and a healthy, remember this, there's two different types of fear also, there's numerous times, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that is the type of fear that I have in respect to this call that God has placed me in. And not only do I have that in the high priest of the home, the shepherd of the home, but also in the body of Christ. So you know what I'm talking about, or ladies, maybe you have a husband and you're the one now that's a spiritual leader because your husband maybe isn't a believer, not here. And you're having to carry that, and you recognize this fear that I'm talking about. Or maybe, honey, you're today are going, honey, I'm nervous about the leadership that you're doing. And this fear, because maybe your husband isn't spiritually where they need to be, seeking the Lord. So your fear is that they're not being led as God would desire them to be led. There's a lot of different angles that this happens in. The fear of what's going to happen with our job, and what's going to happen with one day if the dreaded C word, I'm not even talking about COVID, I'm talking about cancer. You know, what happens if this happens or that happens? Or listen, I love when the scripture calls us to not worry about tomorrow. It says it has enough worries of its own. The only thing that I would encourage you this morning to do is not only not to fear, but to don't forget this puzzle piece thought process that I share with you repeatedly. Please get one if you don't have one. And recognize that today you can offer yourself as a living sacrifice, pleasing, acceptable in His sight today, and lay the gift of what God has blessed you with in His hands to place you where He desires to place you. Is there fear in that? No, there is freedom in that. There's freedom in that because God is awesome. God bats 1,000. He doesn't make mistakes. And if we do that, we will always be where we're supposed to be when we need to be there. We're never going to have to worry, God, am I late? Am I this or I'm that? No, if you are allowing the Proverbs 3:5-6 mindset to trust Him with all your heart, what? Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. As some versions say, make your path straight. Means that God is going to supernaturally, through the Holy Spirit of God, make every pathway clear, everyone without confusion. The fear part is where we will choose to either, oh no, is that what God wants? When God opens doors, brothers and sisters in Christ, there is no distinction between God opening a door. But when the enemy does, what is there? There's confusion. Well, I don't know if that door is open or not. Maybe I should just push it. No, when God opens a door, it's open. When God makes a pathway, it is clear. The faith part is in faith, walking down that, trusting Him along the way. But the faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, God is not a God of confusion, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I hope this message today encourages you wherever you're at. Doesn't matter if you have babies right now in the crib at home or your babies are now taking care of you. It is just as important of a message from cradle to the grave today. I fully believe with all my heart. I pray that it encourages you, though, most of all, to know that God's promises are sure. His word is a lasting promise that we can hold to from eternity past, present, but more importantly, brothers and sisters in Christ, going forward and the future that in many cases seems so uncertain. I hope you found the scripture this morning. Again, Joshua 1:9. And if you are physically able this morning, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege of being able to assemble this morning as the body of Christ, to come together, Lord, to offer up a sacrifice of worship. Lord, you deserve it all. Father, you are so good. Lord, you are on the throne. Father, I thank you today, Lord, for the overwhelming abundance of blessing you've poured out on us this week, Lord. The protection that we didn't even realize you poured out on us, Lord. Your angels, God, in many ways were out in front and we had no idea. Father, thank you for that. God, thank you for the electricity this week, the water. Father, the very power and presence of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. God, the extra time with our families that would not have happened, Father, or even the time alone to be still and know that you are God. Father, this morning, I pray that your word would resonate, would shake the foundations, Lord, for the kingdom of heaven, Lord, and that ones would come from darkness to light, to the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ's blood was shed. He paid the price for our sins so that today we might be the righteousness of you. God, I thank you so much for the purpose and plans that you have for us. God, I pray today that whatever it is that you want to do, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit's power and presence, that we would yield ourselves to whatever it is that you want to do and leave here in obedience in that beautiful place of submission to your desire for our life. But God, I pray that you alone will be the focus of everything that's said and done this morning. And we ask this in the mighty and precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when you think about that 40 years in the desert and all that God did throughout that and the punishment even and just seeing God's love manifest through the whole entire thing, you wonder why there was so much fear with the Israelites. You know, you really do. If you're like myself, you just try to want to understand things better. You're one of those people that just takes things for what it is. But me, I like to understand. You know, when I was reading the story of Samson growing up, I've heard it all those times, but I just try to, every single time I read it, I just try to say, dude, what are you thinking? Nobody else? Okay, good. What are you doing? Saul, don't do it! Anybody ever in your mind gone, stop! Yeah. But you know it can't happen. You know that God's going to use it, but it's still hard because you realize, see, we're able to see the implications of King David and Bathsheba and this, not only the implications for their child, that first child, but also we see the children's sin that are as a result of dad. And we watch the Ananias and Sapphira, you know, we go, you dummy, and I've told you this and I'll say it again, you know, don't ever think that, because if anything we need to say is what God's led me to say so often is, Lord, why not me? Because every one of us in here have done something that had it been Bible times, I'd have probably been smoked before I was 5 years old. I would have been taken outside the camp and stoned. Anybody else? Amen. But you recognize God's mercy and you see it. And the more, as a matter of fact, I had a conversation with someone the other day about someone who's just really having a tough time. It's actually a Christian figure. That's all I'm going to say. And I just really have a compassionate heart for a person. And I was saying that it was someone that's not associated with here. It's in a whole other state. And I just said, you know, my heart breaks. And they're like, man, you know, they blah, blah, blah. And I just said, you know, the older I get, the more I recognize my brokenness and my feet of clay. And I just recognize, hey, the higher you get up on that stool, the higher you fall. And I understand. Listen to me, young people. You're going to understand what I'm saying. Those of you who are older would want to shout amen if you didn't think, you know, You everybody think, oh, what'd you do? But you realize how broken we are apart from Christ. Amen? And how even in our decisions as followers of Christ, Spirit-led, sometimes we make disastrous decisions. And then we look and go, why? What are we doing? What are we thinking? But the Israelites experienced it not having the continual indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter in them. In all honesty, I would say to them, they had a good reason. I don't want to say that, you know what I mean in saying that. They didn't have that convicting power of the Spirit in them continually doing that like we do. We, on the other hand, have that ability. We have the conviction, amen, or oh me. Yes, we have that conviction, and even before we walk down that road, Holy Spirit says, hey, what you doing? We do keep on walking. Wait, what? I don't hear anything. And then it says, can you hear me now? Huh? What? The next thing you know, we sit in a pile of brokenness and ashes because we did not yield to the conviction. And now we're dealing with the conviction in a post-sin sense and the brokenness and the choices that and consequences of actions as they unfold. Really, the question is, what is fear? What is fear? Of course, we talked about it a second ago. We have the healthy fear, the fear of God. By the way, please understand this. I had somebody say to me one time, I would not serve a God that I feared. Do what? Let me just tell you something. My parents believed in vitamin B. Strong proponents for vitamin B, and that B stands for belt. Both of them were schooled. I've told you my mother was a beltsmith. She was schooled in the art, just like a sushi chef is schooled in the art of knives. My mother was schooled in that. My dad was good at it, but not like my mama. My mother said there were some days that she thought all she did was spank me from morning till night. Do you know that I deeply and passionately love my parents to this very day? Do you know that I still have a healthy fear of my parents? Why? Because I know that if I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing, those of you who know them, especially my mother, she's going to make known what she's struggling with. And if you don't answer in public, I don't have Facebook, but she'll get on Facebook and call you out lovingly if you try to ignore her, because she loves people that much. So when we say, hey, I'm not serving a God that I'd fear. Anybody in here fear their mom or dad growing up? I'll throw both legs up and both arms up. I feared my parents big time because my parents never wrote a check with their mouths that belt never cashed, ever. People all know, so you understand the fear. It's a reverent fear. It's a fear of knowing that if you and I step out of line, their desire is to bring us back in line in a good way, to protect us because they love us. True love is what compels godly. I'm not talking about abuse, people. Please understand me. That is a absolute polar opposite universe, not even planet. So understand that. Don't ever mix up abuse and discipline. They're two separate things with completely different outcomes. Amen? Okay. Now that we got that out of the way, this fear, if we're honest with ourselves, fear is faithlessness in disguise. We don't believe that God's going to do what he promises to do, and we're in a sense nervous that something's going to slip by and God's going to miss it. When I was young, I didn't like being in a place like where we live. It's like in a really bad, I don't watch horror movies, but when I was young and I watched those things, the setting at my place is like the setting at the worst horror movie you could ever imagine. A long driveway, lots of trees. When it's blowing, they look like fingers coming out, you know, and it's in the middle of nowhere. You know, nobody hear you scream. We're in the middle of nowhere. And then a little bit farther. When I was young, I would have been nervous to be at my place because of fear. I wouldn't have gone walking outside at my place. There is no way. I'd have probably had a heart attack and died. Now, I could sit outside all night long and I have no fear. Why? Because I know who holds my life in their hand, and that's God. Am I going to go outside when it's freezing cold, lay outside and freeze to death thinking, well, if God's time, I'll go? No, that's not being foolish. But what I'm saying is an irrational fear that takes hold of us. Remember this, it robs us and never gives anything in return. That's what fear is. Fear is us, whether we realize it consciously or not, questioning whether God is going to do what he promises to do, and our fear is nothing. And what happens every time we do that? What do we realize? It gives a 0% return. It only takes from you. It robs you. Anybody in here really kind to your family, spouse, neighbors, friends, boss, or anything when you are in fear? Anybody go, you know, I'm just so kind and nice and pleasant when I'm scared. It makes everybody want to be around me when I'm like that. It's not, it's actually the opposite. It's like two magnets. You want to get away from them. Because what does fear do? Fear many times turns into aggression towards others. In a sense, hiding that fear, but you're in that, it's called fight or flight. Taught us that policing. It's fight or flight. When you're standing there talking to somebody about a traffic ticket and you see them start to do this, y'all better get ready. Because what are they doing? They're either going to fight you or they're getting ready to run. When they're talking to you and they start doing this, you better get ready because you're getting ready to run with them. Unless you just let them run off. It is a fear. What do they have a fear of? Well, a lot of times they think, oh no, that warrant's going to be found out. I'm going to go to prison, blah, blah, blah. There's foolish stuff, crazy stuff. But it's fear that is the driver of the behaviors when that happens. This period that Josh was at this prolific, amazing, I can't imagine looking at it from what we know. Could you imagine being Joshua and being able to understand what God's doing? I think I would be so overwhelmed with emotion that I would burst. This is the pivotal point in history when God is giving his people this promised land. They'd think something's wrong with me. Because I'd be so excited about what God was doing. So excited about all the possibilities and the promises of this promised inheritance. That now God had placed Joshua, in a sense, in the driver's seat of fulfilling this promise. Man, how awesome. But you know, it's so amazing because what do you see in this? You see God realizing the humanity of Joshua and the people. First part of verse 9 again. First part God says is, have I not commanded you? Uh-oh. That's saying God says, hey, have I not commanded you? So we're seeing a little bit of a reminder occur here. The first thing that I want to share comes out of that part of the verse this morning, and it is this. Fear has no place in the life of God's children. Now, understand the distinction that I'm talking about, okay? We talked about that earlier. The fear of God is a totally different fear. I'm talking about an irrational fear that is one that is not of God. It is one that questions God's promises. So that's the fear that this is referring to. If you're taking notes, make sure that you notate that. I want to share some promises of God because I'll tell you, it's so awesome. I wish I had about an hour or two because I could just, man, God's word is full of them. But listen to a few of these. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm chapter 118, verse 6. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Psalm chapter 56, verse 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mortals do to me? Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Man, we could go on all day. Amen. We got Ephesians chapter 3:20. What does that promise? Unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. There is nothing that God can't fix or that God can't do. Nothing. He is not limited in anything. I was talking to the high schoolers this morning and saying, you know, they're discovering new universes all the time. If you know anything about anything space related, the stars, it's continual. And I said, can you imagine when you start to think about the limitless expanse of space, the sheer magnitude of God's power? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to just tell you right there, that is beyond comprehension to me. But you know what's amazing? You want to save yourself a whole lot of money and time? All you have to do is read God's word. Descendants more than what? The sands on the shore and the stars in the sky. So, well, it tells me right there, if you think about all the sands all over the globe, that there are more stars in the sky. That tells me there's a bunch and that it is limitless. Do you realize when you look at that now, and just in the human comprehension of our galaxy alone and the incredible size, we're pretty small. We're pretty small. We can't even fit under the slide to get under the magnifying glass of the immense size. If you look at it in scale versus, remember what I told you, Antares, Arcturus, Pollux, good just to look at a few of those and see how incredibly small our sun is in terms of those. Man, God's awesome. When that God cares about us, though we are as nothing, we're dust, but he loves us, he's mindful of us. That's, I'm sorry, but that's just incredible to me. That is amazing that God loves us. He knows when a hair falls off our heads. Do you realize how awesome that is when you and I might be sitting out in the woods if you're a hunter and you're in your tree stand and you don't recognize that all of your hair is going, adios. He knows when one falls in the woods and you never see it. He knows. He knows the hurts and the insecurities that you won't even mention or recognize in yourself. He knows. He knows your fear of what's going to happen if whatever happens. Just fill in the blanks. He knows it. And he promises, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And that is awesome comfort to me. So it tells me whether you're a man that God's called to lead a million of his people into a promised land, facing the uncertainty of what would shortly become this walled city called Jericho. With what? You gonna whack them with your staff? We don't have what? What are we gonna do? I mean, there's an ammo shortage in Jericho at this point. Well, they can go to the local Walmart? No, they quit selling guns. You get a pawn shop? What are you going to do in Jericho? Remember, Israelites, they have nothing to go and purchase and get. What are they going to use? See, that's the awesome part. When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords leads your army,
You don't need anything. You know why? Because all you have to do is be still, and he will show himself holy. Who in a million years would have believed if you were the Israelites that, hey, if you march around the city a number of times God says and then holler, it's going to fall? What do you think they would have said? What do you think would have happened if you'd have said that to them? Back then you wouldn't say, what are you on? But in modern day we go, are you on something? Go out there and march around somewhere in Washington that you're struggling with. Go march around a business that you have an issue with and say, listen, it's going to fall when you march around it. Brother, you need to sit down and calm yourself down. You might spiritually be winning victories like that, but the likelihood of it physically falling down, unless God divinely is fighting that battle with you and that's his desired outcome, you can march around it all day long. Amen? But see, the power of God, that's the difference in the power of God versus man's. That's why I believe that God does some of this stuff, and it's so supernatural, it's so outside of our comprehension and reason, so that we will only be able to give him glory where it's deserved to be given. That's the reason that God shows up in the way he does and shows out, because he wants to remove any ability we have to take the glory for his work. See, faith is that, again, that aspect that's so hard. So don't forget again, fear has no place in the life of God's children. Reject it, rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every single time it tries to creep in, you reiterate the promises of God, and you allow the enemy to hear God's word rebuking the lies for what they're lies. They're straight from hell. It's the breath of hell, the lies of the enemy, in trying to question the promise of God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, don't you let him do that in your mind. He has no ability to squat on the real estate that he has no right to, which is in our mind. Give him an eviction notice by repeating God's word in scripture and praying, and he has to go. Repeat those promises of God. You are a born-again child of Jesus Christ, the one who paid for your salvation, who loves you, has a purpose, and has a plan for you. And the enemy is nothing but a liar, a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Walk in those promises and that victory, because that is where life truly is. Listen to the second part, verse 9 there. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. So what did they have that first part? Have I not commanded you? Ready? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. He doesn't say in there, should not be. Do not be. Don't even allow it to be a thought in your mind. And the second thing I want to share with you comes out of that part of the verse, and it's the Spirit of God is one of power, not of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says what? God hath not given up a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. God's not given us a spirit of fear, brothers and sisters. That's why when it comes knocking on the door, same way as if a repo man came to your house, you have a paid off car. What are you going to tell him? Get lost. You have no business here. The enemy is a repo agent, and you've got a paid in full debt through Jesus Christ. He's trying to come to steal what's not his. Take your tow truck and go back where you came from. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, don't ever forget to make sure you do it in the authority that you are able to do it in, and that is with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If not, the sons of Sceva could give you a little lesson reading that story on what happens if you try to do it under any other authority. And if you know what I'm talking about, they tried to mess around in the demonic realm, not in the power of Jesus Christ. They got beaten so terribly they ran out bleeding and naked. You make sure that the authority is invoked in the proper way, and he's got to go when that happens. Jesus has given us authority through his death, burial, and resurrection. Remember what I told you when I talked on Revelation with the title deed to earth. And when he kicked Satan in the teeth when Jesus died and took back the keys to hell and death, it was the title deed to earth. What is that? It's you and I, ones who come to faith in Jesus Christ. The enemy held that until Jesus paid that price. He had that right and that authority and those keys. You know what I thank God for today? Jesus Christ holds the keys to hell and death now, and nothing can take them out of his hands. Today, we are secure as followers of Jesus Christ, not because of our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed, imparted, given to us at salvation. Glory be to God. That's enough to make you want to just have a daggone fit in here. That's exciting. See that lying spirit. Let me tell you what John chapter 8, verse 44 warns us of. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It tells you right there a description of what the enemy is. He's a liar. He's a thief. He has no right to what he tries to take captive in our lives. That's all he is I call it, a big illusionist. He does nothing more than a smoke and mirrors show. He never wants us to come to the truth. He never wants us to walk in victory. He knows he can't take our salvation. So if he can make us unproductive spiritually by lying to us, we'll never impact this world for Christ. Bodies of Christ will get so caught up in the iced tea and the choir robes and mask or no mask that they will never affect the outside world, because he will get everything he wants, because they will destroy themselves from within. What does the Bible say? A house divided will what? Surely fall. You got division in your house, I'd encourage you during the invitation today to get down here and cry out to the one who will unite you again, because if you are divided in your home, it is promised that it will fall. There's only one structure that works, and that's God's. God's desire, his will, his structure is the only thing this morning that will give us what the promise of God's word and the desire that God has for us, our personal lives, our homes, our church bodies, our communities, and ultimately the world church. And that is to be unified. Unified. What is a message this morning that we can be unified under? That Jesus Christ paid the price. He died for us. He loves us and wants to breathe true life into us through salvation. Stop falling for those lies. Do not fear. Listen to that last part of verse 9, and we'll finish up. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. God will never abandon us. God will never abandon us. You know how comforting that is? Church, I got a question for you. How many times have we abandoned him? How many times, church, have we abandoned the Lord? Every morning we wake up, don't get in his word, we're abandoning him. We're not wanting to hear him talk to us. When your kids leave home and move out and go to college, y'all know what I'm talking about. John and I talk a lot, y'all know that. I talked to him about a week ago now. And we were talking, it was like in the middle of a conversation, just like, he's disappeared. Well, you know, he's busy, right? So Sunday, they're supposed to be traveling back sometime for, on this op that they've been on. Sorry, my shirt's coming out this morning. I thought if I ran off the road or something happened, I'd be in a shirt that's good to work, and now I'm burning up. So by about Monday or Tuesday, I was like, what's he doing? He can't give his old pop the cold shoulder. Son, you okay? Started off easy. Son, I'm going to have to call the police. About a day later, Do I need to put a search party out, son? I sent him some stuff about airplanes. That always gets attention. Nothing. I had to bait him a little bit. You know what I'm talking about, parents. If they won't talk to you, send them something they like. Send them something that they're interested in. Nope. Radio silence. Well, they're supposed to be back by this point. I'm thinking, he's hanging out with his friend, didn't want to talk to anybody. He's just not turning his phone on. Yesterday he calls me. Daddy, we just got out of the field. They made us leave. It was 6 days we were in the field, and they didn't let us have our phones. Why do I say that? I'm saying that because we run off on God. We deliberately break communication with Him and not allow Him to speak to us. How do we allow God to speak to us? Only in His Word. That's how He speaks, church. But when we don't want to open His Word and we don't want to read His Word, we take our hand and we put it over His mouth and say, God, I'll tell you what I need and I want and my heart's desires and my hurts and my struggles, but I don't want to hear your words to me. You want to wonder why fear is flooding you, overwhelming you? Maybe it's because you don't want to hear what God has to say, and God has to allow you to do what you want to do because you have excused Him from your life, your family's life, your children's life, your church life, your work life. Because you can't tell me right now that if you're not in God's Word, that you're still doing what you're supposed to be doing spiritually. I can assure you, we are not when we do that. We're polar opposites of obedience when that happens. See, God will never abandon us, and we've got to break this notion to believe that He will. Because merely when we allow that to happen, all we're doing is repeating the lie that Satan is whispering in our ear. Many times somebody says, I don't know what would happen if my spouse left me, if my children disowned me. I've seen situations and, you know, somebody just walks out and I don't know what I'd do. And I always say this, you don't ever have to worry about God leaving or forsaking you. So no matter what happens, height nor depth, angels, principalities, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So why don't you focus on the present reality? Stop focusing on the what ifs. And the sad part about worry is, and the fear that is associated with it, most of those things never happen in the first place. Think about it. You ever thought about that? The things that people worry about are scenarios that could possibly happen. Think about all the millennia of time that's been lost to worry. Some with physical implications, ulcers, blood pressure, overall sickness, because worry, it's sin, and the consequence of the physiological pain on your body can hurt you. All for something that could potentially happen. Somebody about 6 months ago, I'll never forget it, because they said, you know, well, I'm worried about this happening. I said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm really worried that mutant ninja fairies are going to invade tomorrow and attack us all. And they laughed. And I said, do you realize why I said that? Yeah, because it's just as irrational as the belief that you're thinking right now in what's going to happen. What is the promise of God? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Did God ever forsake in doing exactly what God had promised to do with His people? No. There was only one variable in that, and that was the people. Their sin hindered the blessing of God. And this is my question to you in closing. Today, what is the dam of disobedience holding back in relation to the blessing of God this morning? Think about the Jordan River of our life and God's mercies, His blessing, His joy, and His peace just flow straight. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of love. So just imagine this flow straight from God into our lives, our hearts, the peace, the joy, the hope, the everything. We know what sin does, right? Sin prevents the blessing of God from flowing. How big is the dam this morning in our lives from our sinful choice? And instead of saying, you know what? God, I know what you promised, and you've never lied. I see it all throughout history. If you want to read something and show that, how he's done it in others, read George Mueller, The Orphanage. Read Billy Graham, his life story. Read Keith Green's No Compromise. I mean, just Rich Mullins. Read Richard Mull, Lord Disciple Me. I can give you book after book after book of personal people that are sold out followers of Christ, and they literally, page after page, is a flow, one after another, of God's faithfulness. Don't fall for the lie this morning, church, because it only takes from you. It never gives. It only robs and steals time that we can never get back. So we punish our families. We punish our friends. We punish the Lord, in a sense, with our fear of something that is nothing more than a lie. And we get nothing. We punish our precious family with a fear of nothing. And what does that teach them? A deeper ingrained fear that they will model as they grow up. But this morning, I want to challenge you not to fear. Has fear been running rampant in your life? Is fear of something that you recognize right now when you step on this side of it and you go, you know, these things I fear, it's so foolish, but when it's like this, I don't know what to do. People will say that. I'll say, you know, is it like this? And they'll go, yeah, that's what it's like. You know what I'll do? I'll tell them, when you start praying and you get in God's word, you allow the power of God to do this, to take it and put it in the proper perspective. What is the proper perspective? The realization that God holds our life, our breath, our families, our church, your job. He holds your tomorrow. He holds our eternity. Who should we trust in? The one that's not a liar. The one that's not a thief. The one that comes to give and to fulfill and give us a life abundant, not the one who steals. If that's you this morning, I want to tell you that you can get victory today. You can get victory, and let me just assure you, as that song I love to sing over and over and over again, great is thy faithfulness. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be. and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.